Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, today we're going to be doing something, today and next week, before we get into the book back of book of Galatians and go back to the book of Galatians, which we will be doing in 2 weeks. I just wanted to share a message with you this week and next week about Easter, because Easter's such a celebration for us. And sometimes in the minds and in the hearts of a lot of Christians, Easter comes, Easter goes, it's what, you know, happens in our existence. And instead of it being a time of remembering, if you will, the sacrifice and celebrating, if you will, the victory, we just let it come and go and we don't really get the deep meaning of what this is all about. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to do a part one, part two of remembering the sacrifice. That'll be today. And then next week, celebrating the victory. And then I might mention to you, the week after that, the very next week after Easter, we're going back to the book of Galatians. And let me tell you something. We're going to the fifth chapter as we go line upon line, precept upon precept. And you don't want to miss this, because here's what's happening. We're going to show you how to deal with your flesh. In other words, instead of your flesh running you, and how many of you realize the flesh does run us? It tells us what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, how much to eat, and continuously bothers us about eating. It tells us when to go to bed, when to get up. It tells us what we like, what we don't like. And the flesh literally runs the body of Christ instead of the body of Christ running the flesh. I'm going to teach you from the scripture on how to control the flesh, how you can be the boss of the flesh instead of the flesh bossing you around. So you don't want to miss that. That's right after Easter. It's going to be fantastic. But today, as we go to the word of the Lord, we're going to concentrate on something called remembering the sacrifice. Because it's so important for us to see that this time we celebrate the triumphant entry into Jerusalem as Jesus is getting ready in his time on earth to come to a conclusion. He is now going to go to that sacrifice. He's going to be the spotless lamb that is going to die upon that cross so that you and I could live. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, that Jesus just didn't come to die. Dying was the process in order to get us saved. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save you and I. And the sacrifice of what he did on that cross brings every one of us to a place where we can truly be free, truly be alive, have a future, have a destiny, have a purpose on why we are on the planet. Listen to this. I love this. We can have a hope on the inside like nobody else that walks upon the planet, all because of that sacrifice. And as Jesus was entering in to Jerusalem, they were shouting the praises to God, if you remember. But also he knew in the back of his mind that a week from that period of time, they will not only be yelling at him, but not the praises of God like Hosanna on high, that they would be yelling at him, crucify him, crucify him. How fickle we humans are. And we are learning how to celebrate Jesus and to continue to celebrate Jesus. Because there's a tendency in all of us for 1 week to shout the praises of God and the next week to shout a cursings that take us someplace we don't want to go. And we're learning how to be mature in Christ Jesus. And this sacrifice that he knew he was going to approach, he knew that time was coming to an end. He knew there was going to be great pressure on him. He knew the pain of what he was going to go through. He knew he was going to get beat. He knew the blood was going to flow. He knew his tendons would be stretched and broken. He knew his muscles would be broken open. He knew he would be spit upon. He knew he'd be ridiculed. He knew he would be criticized. He knew he would be judged. And all of this time, he knows this. And the people are shouting, Hosanna on high, as he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna on high. And the very people that he is making the entry for a week from that moment will be coming and crying out, crucify him. And the ones that he's crying out, crucify him, is the ones he is paying a sacrificial price for. Today, you and I are in this place. Today, we are in this planet with hope in our heart, with a future and a destiny of heaven in itself. My goodness sakes alive. All because of that triumphant entry into that place called Jerusalem. And as he goes in and as he is there, he is knowing what's ahead of him. And he knows about the people. And he knows this. But let me just say this to you. He knows something very important. And here's my point, that you need to know and that I need to know. Along with sacrifice comes great benefits and great blessings. Let me say it again. Along with a life of satisfaction. You know, Jesus is our example. Jesus is our illustration. Jesus is, Paul writes, do as I do, as I follow Christ, follow me. And then all of a sudden, we realize that Jesus is our example. He is what this is all about. He is the captain of our salvation. The word captain means he's gone out in front of us and saying, I've come this road already. You can come on it too because I've already done this. You come now. Come now. Follow him. He becomes our example. And he knows that in sacrifice brings great benefit. And here's the point of this. If you want a great marriage, it's going to take oftentimes great sacrifice on your part. If you want great children to rise in the ways of the Lord, it's going to take great sacrifice on your part. If you want a great business, there's no businessman that's ever been successful in business without an opportunity, listen to this, without great sacrifice of themselves in order to accomplish what it is that they're trying to accomplish. With sacrifice, there comes a biblical principle. The principle is tremendous benefit. For every one of us today, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, and we praise him for it, but also to remember that you and I are to live a sacrificial life in such a way that it brings benefit to the world around us. And I don't want you to miss that today. Let me read you, if I may, out of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Go there with me, starting in verse number 1. Matthew 21 in verse number 1. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, verse number 2, go into the village opposite of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, verse number 3, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he sent them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and they did as Jesus commanded. What last time we were together, a year ago, we talked about the faith of the disciples going into Jerusalem. Can you imagine what he just said to them is go into the city. You're going to find a colt with a donkey. Take it. You know, when you take someone else's animal in those days, you died. You have to trust God to do something like that. Now, this is not giving you an opportunity to go take what you want unless you hear from God. Are you listening to me? So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, verse number 7. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid the clothes on them and set him on them. And very great multitudes spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. At this time, Jesus is knowing the sacrifice that is going to be set before him. A sacrifice for not the people that were cheering Hosanna, but the same people that will be cheering crucify him. The word sacrifice is a powerful word. And when you understand, and I do, the power of sacrifice, our lives change. I know a lot of people say, God's want mercy, not sacrifice. But can I tell you something? He didn't tell you not to sacrifice. You'll never have mercy until you have some form of sacrifice. And I know that God is looking for a heart that's broken and a contrite heart and spirit. And that's what he's looking for. But yet at the same time, there is power in sacrifice. And you and I, as we approach this week in celebration of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and of that cross, we need to remember that we are examples also upon this planet of who Jesus was. And that if he lived that sacrificial life, that power of that sacrifice, things are going to change in our life and great things are about to happen. In my time with God, I found myself jotting down about 40 or 50 things that sacrifice does. I didn't bring 40 or 50 of them to tell you because, number one, you wouldn't listen to all of them, and number two, you wouldn't remember them, and number three, you'd fall asleep or leave before I got to 22. So I decided to give you, like I usually do, three things to remember about the power of sacrifice. So this week you could identify with the word sacrifice because your Savior went to the cross and sacrificed for himself. Knowing that great things come in the life of a person who does live some form of sacrifice. The power of sacrifice, three things. Here it is. Here's number one. It displays selflessness. The power of sacrifice says something. It says it's no longer just about me, but it's also about you. And it says that's no longer about a selfish attitude. And may I say this to you? You've got to get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Sacrifice is when you give up something you want for something's benefiting someone else. Something you need, something you think you own, something you're justified to have, something you work for, something that belongs to you, and you give it up for someone else. That's the highest form of love there is. But can I say this to you? Sacrifice, listen to these words, catches the heartbeat of God. Sacrifice catches the attention of God. Because God is sacrificial. In everything that he does. From his heart he gives. From his heart he loves. From his heart he extends mercy. All of which a God who created the heavens and the earth doesn't have to do. All of which everything that ever existed in the natural came from the spiritual. And he spoke into existence, my goodness sakes alive. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He is God Almighty. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And all of a sudden, everything that you and I have, we have because there is a sacrificial God who loved us instead of judging us. And he went to a different place called sacrifice in his heart for you and I. And when we do this, it changes the world. And when we do it, it catches his eye. And when we do it and operate in some form of sacrifice, giving of ourselves for the betterment of someone else, which is the definition of love, by the way, not just selfishness, but selflessness. When that happens, here's what it does. It takes and puts our life before God. It gets, you've got to hear this, the attention of God. Instead of it being a self-centeredness, instead of it being about an I, me, big me, little you, this is about me triumphing, me having everything, but living a life, my goodness sakes, a life that says I am putting in something for myself so that I could benefit someone else. That's called sacrifice. And it's wonderful. And when it happens, it absolutely catches the attention of God. It tunes God into you. It catches his attention. When that sacrifice becomes more important than your wants. There's this little comment that's being made by Samuel the prophet of God to a man by the name of Saul, who was the first king, I've taught you this, of Israel. Saul has messed up many times, but he's finally messed up to the place where he's made a mistake with God. And such a mistake that Samuel comes and reprimands him and really is angry with him as he speaks to King Saul. Samuel says to King Saul, you know, you offer all the time sacrifices, but sacrifices that are offered out of tradition, sacrifices that are offered out of ceremonial ritual, sacrifices that are offered out of religious activity, instead of a sacrifice that comes from the heart, doesn't work with God. Now, every one of you came into this place today and you sacrificed something. You sacrificed getting out of bed. You sacrificed getting dressed early. You sacrificed coming to church. You sacrificed your time. You could have been anywhere, but you came today and I applaud you for that. But may I say this to you? This is not just about an hour a week of sacrifice. This is about a lifestyle of sacrifice. And when we get out of the hour a week and get into the lifestyle, then the world around us change because of the great power of sacrifice. My goodness sakes. Listen to the words out of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse number 22. Let's just pop it up on the overhead and check it out. Samuel said to Saul, he says, has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? In other words, here he is. You've done all of this. You're offering sacrifices. You're burnt offerings. That's where they would take a lamb and they'd put it on the fire and burn it to nothing, to be showing the lamb is not as important as God. How easy that is for us to come into the house of God and offer a burnt offering of something instead of it coming from our heart. It just comes out of a ritual. He says, do you think God really wants that? He says, isn't it more important as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, you can offer a sacrifice, but you fail to obey. What kind of a sacrifice is that when you don't obey? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So sacrifice is important, but only when it comes from the heart, not when it comes from tradition or ceremonial ritual, or it comes from some area of our life that, you know, we plan it out and we just do it. And he says, to heed. I like the word heed. Do you know what the word heed means? It means to hear. To hear is better, is what he's saying, than the fat of rams. You think, now stop thinking about it. Here's the fat of rams. You guys need to understand this. You may not understand this in a health culture that we have today. But listen to this. The fat was absolutely the best part. And when you got the fat in your meat in those days, that was the part that was sweet and full of flavor. And when you had someone come to visit you, you would always prepare and give them the fatty part of the meat because that was the best part. So when you took a lamb and you offered it up to the Lord as a burnt offering, the whole object was the burning smell of that which was valuable. The part of the lamb, the fat, would go up as a fragrance to God to show that God was more important than even the fat of the lamb. And he comes along and says, to listen to God is more important than the fat of the lamb. In other words, do you really think God is so stupid that he goes, I smell the fat of the lamb. Wow. Of course, you obeying me is not important. And you hearing me and following me is not important. I'm just into the fat smell of the lamb. How we treat God. And Saul was doing just exactly that. I'll go through the functions, but I won't go to the sacrifice that comes from my heart. It's the same thing in today's church. Not necessarily you, not necessarily this church, but we come through a ceremonial ritual and we come and we bring our little tithe and our little offering and we've done our part and it's the fat of the lamb when in fact it ought to be sacrificial that we come and bring our hearts and lives, our energy and effort to the things of God. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. So number one, a real sacrifice from the heart shows selflessness and catches the attention of God. But I like number two. Number two is pretty good. We're talking about the power of sacrifice. Why? So we can leave this place today and start living our sacrificial lives with our families and children, with our jobs and finances, with our relatives and friends, because of our relationship deeply with the Christ that went to the cross and died for us, and not some shallow relationship of a few expressions that mean nothing. The power of sacrifice, number two, it displays trust. Real trust, real faith, real confidence. May I say this to you? Words are cheap, and God knows it. One week they're yelling, Hosanna on high, the King of glory. And the next week they're yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Guess what? Words are cheap. But what speaks is not words, it's your life. Oh, you got to hear this. What speaks is not words, but your life. Oh, God, I love you with all of my heart. Oh, yes, but I want you to... Oh, I can't do that. But God, I love you with all of my heart. I sing the songs. Praise you, Lord. How wonderful you are. Oh, what? You want me to change here? Do that? Doesn't work, does it? See, our lives is what God watches, not the words from our mouth. The words from the mouth are supposed to be an expression of the heart, but then he watches the life that follows the heart. Is anybody listening? You know why? Because God's not stupid. And we treat him like he's stupid. Oh, like he doesn't know when the words are shallow. He doesn't know that it doesn't come from our heart. Let me tell you something about sacrifice. Sacrifice truly shows trust. I want to let you in a little something. I'm going to tell you something about me that you may or may not have known or ever heard before. But I'm going to tell you something about me. I'm going to tell you and use myself as an example, not to brag or be a big shot or anything like that. I'm only using this as an example to show you that in all of our lives, we've got to go past the words and we've got to say with our life, physical being, what we mean. When I started pastoring this church, Deborah and I, because there wasn't anybody in the church, had to pay our bills, of course, like anybody else, and went back to our trade, which was building homes. Deborah would design homes, and I would build homes, and I didn't physically use a hammer or nail because I'm really a clod that way, but I knew how to organize people and get people to do it, and we would sell homes. And the first couple of years of the church, Deborah and I made a lot of money. And if I could just say this to you, it was never my heart's desire to be a pastor. I never wanted to be a pastor. A pastor to me was a man, this is my foolish thinking, it was totally foolish, totally wrong, totally in error, as a man that couldn't get a job. That's the way I saw pastors. And here I was pastoring a church. And I didn't mind pastoring a church. It was about 100, 150 people in the church at that time, maybe on a good Sunday with a bit of a lie to it, maybe 200. And everything was fine. We wouldn't take an offering up in the church, for those of you who think that I'm only after money. We never took up an offering for 3 years in this church. And the reason for that is because I really didn't want the church to succeed. I wanted to go back to what my heartbeat was. My heartbeat, the thing that I loved, was business. The thing that I wanted to do, I came from a business family. My brother owns part of downtown Los Angeles, those high-rises. And my family is a business family. And I never wanted to be a pastor. I just did that. I don't know why. I just did it because I felt like it needed to be done. But we were not taking up offerings wanting this church to fail. At least I did. Because I wanted to say, see, I tried and it didn't work. And now I can go on with my business. We were making hundreds of thousands of dollars 20 some odd years ago every year. And we ended up paying the bills of the church because I wouldn't take an offering up from our own income. That got a little crazy after a while, and I started to realize that this church seems to be growing. God spoke to me and said these words, I want you to go on and be a pastor full time. Which meant I had to take my business, that which I loved, that which I really wanted to do. My whole vision in life as a child was to make money to give it to the gospel and to build the kingdom of God by my business. That was all I really wanted to do. Now God says, I want you to go full time, which meant I had to put my business aside, the very thing that I loved the most, and do something for 150 people. I had no idea the church was going to turn into tens of thousands of people. I had no vision for that. I had no idea we'd be in a building like this. I had no idea that ministry would reach the world. I had no idea. I was just for that 150 people. I said, God, I love you so much. I will set myself aside. And I sacrificed my business. Now, may I say this to you? I didn't just sacrifice my business. I was 40 years old. I was sacrificing prime time for building financial equity. That's the prime years of my life. I was going to give it up for 150 people. And I loved him enough to do that. I had no idea. Of course, today I look back on it. And you need to know I wouldn't do anything else than the pastor. It's the highest called position on the planet. You couldn't make me president of the United States. That would be a step down from what I do today. But in those days, I had to put my life where my mouth was. I had to put my heart where my mouth was. And I had to show through sacrifice how much I really trusted God. Jesus is going to the cross and he's with his disciples. And if you'll go with me in the 26th chapter, talking about displaying trust. And he's with the Father. He wants to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I've been in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's an amazing place outside of Jerusalem. I've preached in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thank you, Lord. And he's going to go to the Father in prayer because he knows what's ahead of him. In verse number 39, he says these words. Remember, we're talking about how sacrifice displays, I want to say, real trust in God the Father. Verse number 39, he says, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And then I love these next words. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you. God, I would like it not to have to happen this way. I have never felt pain. I have never felt a broken body. I've never felt broken skin. But the worst of it all, Lord, I have never been separated from you, Father, by sin. I am the spotless lamb. I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. I spoke and planets exist. And now they're going to nail me to the cross. And Lord, I've never been separated from you before, Father, since before time ever began. And now, because of the sin of man, I'm going to take on, I will be separated from you. Lord, if there's any other way. But if there isn't, it's okay. I want your way. And that's what sacrifice is all about. It shows real trust. He goes on and says it again later on. With every one of us in this place, we live these lives. We want so much. We want so much to happen. And it all starts with something that rubs us the wrong way. It rubs us in the way called sacrifice. In order for a marriage to work well, husbands and wives have got to sacrifice for each other. In order for children to grow, parents have got to sacrifice not having Sundays to themselves, but taking their kids to church and making sure how they see the importance of it. In order to break those bad habits, you're going to have to sacrifice your time to get into the Word of God and make sure that it becomes more important than the bad habit. All of which shows, Lord, we trust you more than anything else. Because we can come into the house of God and miss God because we offer cheap words and we walk out when in fact, God's looking for a sacrificial heart. Wow. Third thing God showed me to share about the power of sacrifice, and I love this one. This is one of the most important. Listen to this, and you need it, and so do I. Here's a third one about the power of sacrifice so that we can live our lives sacrificially in areas of our life. Is it brings miracles. You got to understand how it brings miracles. In fact, I want to make a statement to you. The seedbed for miracles is sacrifice. The seedbed for miracles is sacrifice. Someone said one time, I could believe the Bible if you took out the miracles. That's what God's all about. The God who you serve. The God who is beyond human understanding. The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that speaks and poof, planets exist. The God at one time who gathered dust and dirt from the ground and breathed into it and makes life. You takes dirt and brings life. This God is a God of miracles and wants to do miracles in your life today. And in your home and in your family and in your future. And I don't care what the world does. We're in it, but not of it. And guess what? We've got a miracle working God. From the time of Abraham to Moses and all through the prophets of Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah, you will find mighty miracles in David's life and Solomon's life. You will find Joshua's life, miracles and miracles in the New Testament of Saul and Paul and Peter and James and John and Jesus. Miracles. Miracles is what God's all about. He supersedes the natural. And the seedbed of all of it comes from this word sacrifice. Proof of that is Jesus goes to the cross. And you're the miracle. You're the miracle. I don't need the eastern sky to split and Jesus come. He's already come. I don't need to be raised from the dead. I'm already alive forevermore. Where I didn't see before, I see now. Where I was bound up before, I'm free now. I am, and so are you. Miracle of sacrifice. You're not just walking out of this place today. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You used to be dirt bags, failures, losers, headed for hell. Your thinking was all screwed up. You didn't know top from bottom, right from left. You were the biggest losers on the planet. And then the miracle of the sacrifice comes in. Washes you clean. Builds you up. Sets you free. Oh my goodness. That's good news. The book's full of miracles. I could have picked any one, but I felt like the Spirit of God really took me to John, the 11th chapter. Go there with me. Here's a story of a man named Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. We find in John, the 11th chapter, that Martha comes running up to Jesus, and she says to Jesus, "Your friend, Lazarus, my brother, he's sick. You need to come and heal him because you're the healer. You've done that before. He's really sick, Jesus, and he really loves you and you really love him." Jesus stays back and doesn't come. Finally, after a period of time, couple of days goes by. Jesus now says to his disciples, "Let's go up into Judea area." His disciples say to Jesus, "Wait a minute, man. You know, they're planning on killing you up there, and they'll probably kill us too." This is the time when Doubting Thomas, we all call him a Doubting Thomas, but he said, let's go up there with Jesus and lay our lives down. He was a man of faith. May be that afterwards he fell apart, because that's us. One day we're in faith, next day we fall apart. We pick on Thomas, we ought to pick on ourselves. Learning how not to do it. He goes up there and Martha meets him in verse number 21 and says, and now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, why did you not come? My brother is now dead. I told you he was your friend and you loved him, and I know you love him and you love me and you love my sister Mary, but why didn't you come? If you had just come, he would have been alive. Jesus goes on to tell her, well, he'll raise again. And she says, well, yeah, I know he'll raise in the last days. Jesus said, no. He says, Martha, you don't understand. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may be dead, he shall live. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes. And sure enough, here comes Mary, the sister, and starts it all over. You should have come, he would have been alive. She's weeping and crying. There's lots of Jewish people with her friends, and they're all bawling, and Jesus groans on the inside of him because he knows of their unbelief and doubt of his power as the Messiah. And he's frustrated, but then he feels their compassion. The Bible says in verse 35, two words, Jesus wept. He cries with compassion. He makes this statement in verse number 38, and then Jesus again groaned inside of himself, and he comes to the tomb and in the grave, and the stone was against it, and Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha said to him. Lord, wait a minute, if you take away the stone, there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. He's starting to smell. He's rotting. Verse 40 says, and Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory or manifested goodness of God? And he prays, and he's only praying to display to them about the Father. Verse 43 says, and when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he, verse 44, he who had died came out. One translation said, the one that was dead got up. I want you to know that's a story of a miracle. But it's not the story of a miracle of Lazarus. It's the story of a miracle of you. Because there was a time when Jesus said, you that are dead, stand up. And we that were dead in our trespasses and our sin, headed for hell and didn't even care, we got up alive. It goes on, he says, our feet and hands were bound with cloth clothing, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said, I like the word them. I should have highlighted the word them. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus will make you alive. Then you get into church and it'll unwrap all of the grave stones from you, and the truth shall make you free. Miracle. Three things to remember this week about sacrifice for yourself. One, it displays selflessness that gets the attention, eye, and heart of God. Two, it displays, I like the word, real trust. When you put your life where your mouth is. And three, it brings miracles. Because it's the seedbed of miracles, is sacrifice. If today God spoke to you, would you give him a great big praise of the Lord? Will you do that? Isn't that a good message? Woo!
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.